and I trust that he'll do the same tonight. I appreciate the singing, and pray that the Lord has blessed you through the singing of the choir, and then also this special number of this young preacher. Is that right? All right. Praise the Lord. And I'm just curious, are you from around here? Yeah? Oh, okay. You sound like you're from up north with your dialect. That's why I said, this boy don't talk like he's from the mountains, praise the Lord. Amen. He's been working on that, ain't he? Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Maybe that's Wilkesboro speak then. When he started talking, I said, is that boy from around here? Praise the Lord. But anyway, not everybody talks like I do. And I'm thankful for that. Praise the Lord. But it's a joy. Good to see you, preacher. Thank you for the song tonight. What a great, great old hymn. And, boy, I tell you, that's something to be able to sing that and know that it's well with your soul. I appreciate that tonight. Good to see Brother Longworth and his family. I didn't realize he was here till he prayed tonight. Dear friends of ours, known them for many years, and the Lord has been good to us and blessed us with a lot of friendships. I've got a lot of friends in North Carolina. May have a few enemies. I don't know about it if I do, but I've got a lot of friends, and I appreciate the Lord, and it's all a part of being the family of God. I wouldn't have known none of y'all had it not been for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd have lived my life and went my own way, never got to know God's people like I do today. And boy, you think about the great blessings of just being saved today. What it means to be saved. We're living in a world that seems like very few really know what it means to be born again in these days. But I'm thankful that I'm saved by the grace of God. And thankful that Jesus is the one that did the work. And I'm thankful for that today. You pray for us tomorrow night. Lord willing, my family will be here with me singing. And so you pray for them as they'll be coming. And pray for us that God will just bless us in a special way. If you have your Bible, turn with us to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 2. And I want to read just a few verses tonight, and I'm going to give you a simple thought that the Lord has laid upon our heart. It never ceases to amaze me when I go in meetings and God will lead your heart to preach something, how that the Holy Spirit sets it up for you in the singing before you ever get in the pulpit. You couldn't order it like that, but God has done that tonight here in the service. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 2, and verse number 1, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Father, we thank you for the reading of your word, and I pray that you would enable me now, Lord, as I stand in this place. Father, I pray that you'd speak to hearts that are gathered here. And Lord, if there'd be one among us tonight that's not sure of their salvation, I pray, God, would you speak to them tonight through your word. Father, I thank you for the good song, Lord. It is well with my soul, Lord. What a blessing it is to know that. And Lord, I pray that tonight, Lord, that you'd help us to preach that you've laid upon our heart for this hour. Lord, give us that liberty that's needed, and Lord, give us receptive hearts unto your word. And God, will give you praise now and honor and glory, for it's in the name of Jesus we pray and we ask it tonight. Amen and amen. Here in the Word of God, the Apostle Paul is writing, and Paul begins talking in verse number 1. He said, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin." And then Paul comes down and he begins talking about where in time past you walked according to the course of this world. In verse 3, he says, "Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Everybody that's here that's been saved by the grace of God, you remember a time in your life when you wasn't saved. You remember a time, just like Paul described here, you were walking according to the course of this world. You were walking according to the desires of your own flesh, and you were by nature a children of wrath. But there was a day that the sweet Spirit of God and the Word of God came to where you were and began to deal with you and began to draw you. And there was a time and a place that you came and you threw yourself upon the mercy of Jesus and called on Him. And that day you were saved by the grace of God. It never gets old watching somebody get saved. It never gets, matter of fact, I never get tired of hearing testimonies of sinners that God reached down out of the depths of the mire and clay and pulled them out and put their feet up on a rock. I never get tired of hearing that. And boy, I'm glad that God still has the power to save today, just like He did throughout time. I'm glad God has the ability to do that. I was thinking about, of course, what it means we're living in a culture today. If you ask someone today if they're saved, many times throughout our journeys of life, we run upon people, and just seems like everybody nowadays, if you ask them if they're going to heaven, everybody will tell, "Yeah, I believe I'm going when I die." And it's hard to find somebody who will admit that they're lost without God. I have a preacher friend in Greenville, Tennessee. He pastors the Appalachian Baptist Church in Greenville, Tennessee. And he's a unique thinker. And a lot of times he sends me text messages. He'll get a thought up on his mind, and he'll just shoot me a random text. And I got one of those random text from him one day, just out of the blue. It didn't have any backstory to it or anything. It just sent me this text, and this is what the text said. I wrote it down so I get it right. It said, "A religious man is that like an envelope that is addressed for heaven, but with no postage stamp on it to get it there." And I, as I began to think about that, I later found out, and he told me the backstory to that. He said, "I was going to the post office to mail some letters," and he said, "Every one of them said they were going somewhere, but not a one of them had a stamp on it." And he said, "There's so many people today, they'll tell you that they're going to heaven. They think they're going to, they hope they're going to heaven, but yet they do not have applied to their life what it takes to get to heaven." I'm preaching on the subject tonight on, do you have what it takes to get to heaven? I did not ask you if you were a church member. I did not ask you if you had been baptized. I did not ask you if you were a good moral person. What I'm asking you tonight, do you know that you have applied to your life what it takes to get to heaven? You can be a church member and not be, you can join a church and that won't save you. You can be baptized till the tadpoles know your social security number, and that won't save you. You can shake the preacher's hand. You can be raised in a deacon's home. You can do all those things, and yet none of those things are what it takes to get you to heaven. It's going to take the blood of Jesus Christ and the free pardon of sin. I began to think about that. As a matter of fact, I brought a letter with me tonight. I wanted to show you and illustrate this message tonight. Everybody's ever mailed a letter, you know what the process is. On each letter, there usually is a particular destination and a point of departure. And the letter I've got in my hand, I addressed this letter tonight Matter of fact, I put the point of departure from our church, the church I pastor. The point of departure says Dyson Grove Baptist Church, 8483 Roan Creek Road, Butler, Tennessee, 37640. And that's the point of departure on this letter. And on this letter, the particular destination I've got, I put your name, 316 John Street, Glory Avenue, Heaven, 77777. You say, that's not a real address. Well, Heaven is a real place. I may not have the numbers exactly right, but I do know that Heaven is just as real as what we're looking at tonight. It's even more real than what we're looking at tonight. And I thought about this here as you look at this letter. If you read it, it says it's going to Heaven. But it's like a lot of people, it don't have anything on it to make sure that it gets there. When I think about that point of departure, do you realize all of us are not put here to stay, but we're all in the process of leaving? The Bible said it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. I was reading what one man said today. He said this. This was his quote. He said, I always knew I'd get old. He said, the shocking part to me was how quickly it happened. And you look back over your life and you realize what James said over there, said, our life is a vapor that appeareth for a little while, and then it vanisheth away. Can I say to you today, every one of us are checking out of here one of these days. If Jesus doesn't come, there's going to be a day you'll get up in the morning, put your shoes on, but the undertaker may take them off that night. Can I say to you, it is appointed unto man that we're going to meet him one day. And I'm glad, you know, in that place of departure, when it comes time to die, everybody wants to affiliate with a religion. You can identify with, I mean, you know what? If you read the obituary columns, you'll see people, they'll say this, and many of you, when you die, if we read your obituary, they would say, so-and-so was a member, or they were a member of the Pleasant Grove Baptist Church. And that's a wonderful thing. I'm glad for that, and I'm thankful for that. But there'd be some of you maybe that come here, you've not joined the church. They would say they attended the Pleasant Grove Baptist Church. And then there's always that group of people that really didn't like church, didn't want to go to church, but when it comes time to check out, they want to identify as something, and they'll put in their obituary, they were of the Baptist faith. I can't figure out why we have to claim all them people that didn't want to go to church. Why can't the Methodists and the Presbyterians and the Pentecostals claim some of them? It seemed like every one of them that hadn't been to church in 40 years, they were of the Baptist faith. Well, I got news for you. You can be of the Baptist faith or the Methodist faith, and I am a Baptist by conviction, but I'm going to tell you, being a Baptist ain't got what's going to get me to heaven. I'll tell you how I'm going to heaven. It's going to be through the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross of Calvary. I thought about that point of departure. I was reading a story about an old mountain preacher, and he was preaching one day, and he pulled his pocket watch out of his pocket, and he held it up, and he said, church, this is my old pocket watch. Said, I've had it many, many years, and said it's been faithful all those years to tick, 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 tick. He said, but a funny thing happened to it the other day. He said it stopped ticking and refused to start again. Can I say to you, that's what's going to happen to every one of us. There's something inside you tonight that's beating, and there's going to come a day when it's going to stop and it's going to refuse to start again. Oh, it's in that moment you better know that you know that you know that you have what it takes to get to heaven. Amen. I thought about that. That I wish I could tell you that heaven was the only destination, but I would be remiss if I told you that, because the Bible tells us in the Word of God that broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. He said, narrow is the way, and straight is the gate that leadeth to life everlasting. Can I say to you, There's a lot of people on that broad road today. And boy, if you're here tonight and you got on the narrow road, you ought to be shouting happy tonight. Out of all the people that's stomping their way towards a Christless eternity, here you sit tonight, saved by the grace of Almighty God, headed to heaven. Amen. That ought to make you rejoice as a child of God. I went to the post office. I took this letter to the post office, and I walked up to the counter, and I looked at the lady. I knew her that worked there, and I said, I want to show you. I got a letter here, and I said, as you can tell by the way it's addressed, I'm not mailing it. But I said, I want to ask you a question. I said, if this was a place you could deliver it, I said, would this letter go like it is right now? She said, no, it wouldn't. It don't have a stamp on it. And I said, so what are you saying? She said, somebody has to pay a price so it can be delivered. Boy, I'm glad tonight that I can tell you that there was a price that was paid one day that you and I could be delivered. There was a day when the God of glory stepped off His throne and robed Himself in flesh and came down and was born in a manger in Bethlehem, grew up and went about doing good, healing the sick and raising the dead. And then at the age of 33 and a half years, He put an old cross on His back and walked up a hill called Calvary. And there they nailed Him to that tree. And as He hung between heaven and earth, He cried, "It is finished." I'm glad, praise God, that the price was paid, that all who will come to Him, all who will receive Him, I'm glad they can be saved by the grace of Almighty God. Hallelujah. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hallelujah to His name. I'm glad the price has been paid. I brought another letter with me. It's exactly like the first one. It's got the point of departure, Dyson Grove Baptist Church, 8483 Roane Creek Road, Butler, Tennessee. It's got the particular destination of your name, 316 John Street, Glory Avenue, Heaven. But this one's a little different. As I was at the post office that day, I asked that lady, I said, "So you're telling me that first letter wouldn't go because it didn't have a stamp?" She said, "Yes, sir." I said, "Do y'all sell a 2-cent stamp?" She said, "We do." I said, "Could I buy one and would you put it on this letter for me?" And she said, "Okay, I will." And I put it on there and I held it up and I said, "Now you said the first letter wouldn't go because it didn't have a stamp on it." I said, "This one's got a stamp on it. Would it go if you could deliver it?" She said, "No, sir. That's insufficient postage." You say, why a 2-cent stamp? Because in these days when you ask somebody what it means to be saved, everybody's willing to give you their 2 cents worth. They'll tell you what they think. "Oh, this is what I think it takes, preacher. If you'll just be a good neighbor or be a good friend, or you'll go about doing good deeds, surely you'll be saved." But let me tell you something. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, he said, "It's not of works, lest any man should boast." Ain't a one of us can be good enough to go to heaven. Now, I believe we ought to live right when we're saved. I believe God will put a desire for you to live right and shun sin. But let me tell you something right now. There's not a one of us, when we get to heaven, going to stick out our chest and say, "Boy, I sure did get myself here." I got news for you. If you get there, you'll get there solely by the grace of a holy God. Amen. Ain't going to be a one of us going to claim anything other than the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So I said, "So you're saying that won't get you there?" She said, "No." I said, "Could you put one of them stickers on that thing that says 'Return to Sender, Insufficient Postage'?" She said, "I sure will." So she put it on there. I preached this message at my church on Easter Sunday. I believe it was maybe 2 years ago now. And had some people there, got saved that day. But in the crowd that day, there was a young man and his wife and a small child. They'd visited a couple of times our church. I didn't know anything about him. That day, he didn't move in the service or anything. And I was at home on Easter Sunday night. It was almost 11:30 at night, and I was on my computer. And this young man sent me a message over the computer. He said, "Preacher, I hate to bother you this late." He said, "He said, I can't get away from the message you preached this morning." He said, "Is there any way I could talk to you tomorrow. Any way you could meet me at the church? I said, I'd be happy to. You just tell me what time. And he said, about 10 o'clock in the morning, if you will, meet me at the church. And I said, all right, I'll do that. And I got a hold of my son-in-law, Brother Cameron, who's my assistant pastor. And I said, there's a young man wanting to meet us down at the church. I said, I don't know what he's needing. But anyway, when we got to the church that morning, this old boy pulled up in his work truck. And when he got out, he just started walking towards me. And before I even had a chance to say anything, he just threw both hands up in the air, weeping tears. He said, preacher, I've got the 2-cent stamp. I've got the 2-cent stamp. Preacher, he said, when I was little, I made some sort of profession. He said, but my life has never shown any evidence. He said, I've been out in the world. I've messed my life up. He said, I'm a mess, preacher. He said, I got that 2-cent stamp. He said, preacher, I'm ready to give my heart to Jesus Christ. I said, well, you've come to the right place. We went in the church that morning. We got on the altar, and that old boy just wept his way to Calvary, got saved by the grace of God. I'm going to tell you what would do a lot of people good. It'd do them good to junk that 2-cent stamp. See, a 2-cent stamp, them folks that's got that, it ain't even enough to get them to church half of the time, and they're expecting them to get it to heaven. Amen. Amen. And I say to you, if what you got won't take you to church, I little doubt it'll take you to heaven. Amen. Amen. Oh, but can I say to you, I thought about that. There's a lot of people depending on a lot of things to get them to heaven. What you don't know, preacher, my mama was a saint of God, and she may have been, and I'm glad for that. If she was, but you're not going on your mama's dress tail. Your daddy may have been the best Christian that ever walked in shoe leather, but you're not riding his coattails to heaven. Jesus said, marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. Hallelujah to his name. Oh, yeah. So the first one wouldn't go because it didn't have a stamp. And this one won't go because the stamp's not sufficient to get it there. I've got another letter with me. It's identical to the first two. The point of departure is Dyson Grove Baptist Church, 8483 Roan Creek Road, Butler, Tennessee. The particular destination is 316 John Street, Glory Avenue, Heaven. And if you look at this one, I had this stamp at the house. And I took this to the post office with me that day. And after those first two, I'd talked to the lady about it. I said, so that one won't go because I said, I pull this one out and I already have the stamp on it. I said, well, look at this one right here. I said, if this was where you could deliver this, would this go? She said, yes, sir, that's sufficient postage. You know what kind of stamp it is? Forever stamp.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. One of them four, you know what a forever stamp is, don't you? If you go to the post office and you buy that forever stamp, I mean, you can keep that thing there, and when you need it, it don't matter what the economy does. The economy might go in a tank, and I mean, it might be like the Great Depression, and stamps might cost you, it might cost you $35 to mail a letter, but it won't cost you that if you've got a forever stamp, because once the price is paid, it's good from now till eternity. Amen. I'm glad the day he saved me, he didn't just give me part of it. I'm glad Paul writing there, he said, we're already seated together in heavenly places. I can't figure all that out other than to say this, that Jesus, I'm in Jesus and he's in me. Jesus in heaven and there's part of me already there. I'm here and Jesus is in me. Amen. Can I say to you, I'm glad that I serve a God that's able to save, hallelujah, to the uttermost. And I'm glad he gives eternal salvation, hallelujah, to his name. I had a cousin. He's a little older than me. And I got news that he was sick. Our lives didn't intersect much in our life, and I hardly ever saw him. And I knew he hadn't lived a life. I knew he wasn't in church. I knew he hadn't lived a life of a Christian or anything. And when I heard that he was sick, they told me he'd been in the hospital and that he had been diagnosed with brain cancer. And so when I heard that, I said, I need to go see him. I said, he's my first cousin. And I said, they probably ain't nobody else going to go. And I said, I've got to go, and I need to talk to him. And I got there that day and went down to a little trailer they was living in. Him and a woman he was living with was in this little trailer. And that day I went in, I just said, Dennis, I said, I'm sorry to hear you're sick. They'd sent him home. They'd done some radiation, had shrunk the tumors. And so he was conscious and he was able to talk and everything like that. And I said, I'm sorry to hear you're sick. And he said, yeah. He said, it kind of surprised me. And I talked to him a little bit. And that day I took a little bit of money. I said, I know you're sick. And I said, you might need to pay a light bill or buy some groceries. And I could tell that touched him when I did that. And he thanked me for it. You say, preacher, you wouldn't do something like that. Somebody's shacked up, living together. Let me tell you something right now. It's the love of God that leads men to repentance. You don't condone what a sinner's doing, but that don't stop you from loving them. And I said, I want you to know I love you. I didn't even talk to him that day about his soul. I just said, I just want you to know we're praying for you down there at the church.
Yeah.
And he thanked me. He said, well, I appreciate that. And he said, I'm hoping I can get a little bit better. They hadn't really told him the severity of everything. And I said, I'll be back in a few days to see you. He said, all right. I waited a few days, and I went back down there. It was on a sunny, I think it may be a Friday morning. And he was sitting out on the porch, had a little oxygen tank and was on oxygen. And he was sitting there just the morning sun on the porch. And I went up and sat down. I said, Dennis, how you doing today? He said, well, he said, I'm feeling fairly good today. He said, feeling a little bit better. And we talked and made small talk a little bit. And finally, I looked at him and I said, Dennis, I really need to get to the reason that I'm really here. I said, I know what's wrong with you and you know what's wrong with you. And he just kind of shook his head, yeah. I said, Dennis, you're my cousin and I love you. And I said, I can't let you leave this world without asking you, is your heart right with God? Have you ever been born again? Have you ever been saved? When I asked him that question, I could tell he was thinking about it just a minute. And he said, well, when I was little, he said, they baptized me down at the church. I said, well, that's good, Dennis. I said, a man ought to be baptized. I said, I'm thankful the Lord commanded people to be baptized. But they baptized you. I said, do you remember anything else about that time? He said, no. He said, I don't remember anything other than they baptized me. I changed the subject pretty quick. I said, well, Dennis, let me ask you something. I said, you remember your first pocket knife? Big smile came across his face. He said, yeah. He said, I cut my finger with it the first day I had it. I said, just about all of us have had that experience with our first pocket knife. I said, you remember when you got your driver's license? He said, yeah. He said, it took me 3 tries. He said, I failed 3 times before I finally got my driver's license. We laughed. I said, you remember your first car? He said, yeah. And he laughed and he called the name of the car. He said, it was a piece of junk. And when he said that, I said, I know, you sold it to me. It was a piece of junk. I mean, it was a rite of passage in the family for your first car. Everybody had to own. If I called the name of this car, wouldn't even nobody here know what brand the car this was. It came from Germany. It was called a Simca. Anybody ever heard of Simca? Well, there's 2 or 3. You must have had family like I had. Do you have a piece of a Simca was what it was called. That was a piece of junk. I ended up trading it for a riding lawnmower. Put more miles on the lawnmower than I did on the car. We sat there and we laughed about the fact that me and him both had that old car as our first car. And then I looked at him and I said, well, Dennis, so what you're telling me is this. You remember your first pocket knife? You remember when you got your driver's license? You remember when you got your first car? But the thing you're staking your eternal destiny on, you can't remember anything about it. I said, don't you think it's about time you get something you can remember?
Amen.
I said, I didn't come here to pressure you. But if you want me to pray with you, if you want to be saved, you can be today. He sat there just a minute. He said, yeah, I believe I'd like to do that.
Amen.
And we bowed right there on his porch. And I prayed with him. And he asked the Lord into his heart.
Amen.
3 months later, I preached his funeral. I told the congregation that day, many lost people in the congregation, I said Dennis had lived most of his life. As a child, he remembered being baptized. But his life did not reflect the life of a child of God. But then I said, when I began to talk to him and ask him about it, I said, Dennis realized he's facing eternity. And I said, all of us are facing eternity. And that day he recognized he didn't have what it took to go to heaven. But I said, I'm glad I can tell you today that I was there when we knelt on his porch. I heard him call on the Lord. And I said, by his testimony, by what the Word of God says, I said, I can now tell you where Dennis is at. He's in the presence of the Lord. A lot of people says, oh, without preaching, somebody's not lived their whole life, and then they can't get saved right at the last. Well, then you'll have to tell that thief on the cross that, praise God. Because he got in about as late as a man could get in. But he got in, didn't he? Jesus said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Hallelujah to his name. I thought about that. Dennis got that forever stamp. At the post office that day, I was asking that lady, I said, so you're telling me this would go if you could deliver it? She said, yes, sir, it would. I said, I think you're forgetting one thing, aren't you? And she said, I don't know, what's that? I said, don't y'all have a stamp you got to stamp it with called a postmark date? She said, yes, sir, we do. I said, would you postmark date this one for me? And as you can see, if you can see it at a distance, it is postmark date. And on it, the funny thing about this is once the stamp's put on it, that postmark date don't ever change. Every time I look at this envelope, it says April 1st, 2015. I didn't mean for it to happen, but that's April Fool's Day. But I thought about the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. But every time I look at this, I see April 1st. I remember the day that the Lord saved me. Amen. I thought about this. I asked that lady, I said, now let me ask you this question. I said, I brought these letters to the post office. They could not get here by themselves. That's a good lesson for us, church. There's sinners out there. They ain't going to come on their own. We're going to have to bring them. We got to go into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. But I said, I brought these to the post office. And I said, but this stamp on here and that seal, I said, is it now my responsibility to make sure it gets where it says it's going? She said, no, sir, that would be the responsibility of the one who put the seal on it. Amen. I'm glad, praise God. Listen, the day he saved me, he sealed me with the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. And let me tell you something. I might try to get there on my own, but the fact is I don't have the ability to. But I'm glad it's God. You see, God's the one that's taken me to the other side. He's the one who said he'd never leave me nor forsake me. He's the one that said, I'll go with you all the way, even to the end of the world. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad tonight that you've got what it takes to go to heaven? I want to ask you tonight, and I know most of you here probably are saved by the grace of God, but in a crowd this size, there may be somebody here that you're just not sure you have what it takes. I was preaching this message in a revival meeting in a church. Matter of fact, the church I preached last week in Bristol, Virginia, I've preached, I think, 11 years in a row. I think it's some, or 10 or 11 years in a row there for them. And I had preached this message one night. And I give the invitation, and nobody came during the invitation. And I was at the back shaking hands with the preacher, and we were back there, and all of a sudden, as people were filing out, this lady came and said, preacher, you might want to come see what's going on up here. And I looked, and about everybody had left, but there, in the altar, there was a young man that had fell on the altar, and he was just weeping uncontrollably, and there were people around him, and they were praying. And I just stood and watched as that young man got saved by the grace of God after the service. And I rejoiced. I left there, and I said, praise the Lord. I headed home, and it was about almost an hour drive for me to get home that night. But before I got home, I got a text message on my phone from this lady in the church. She said, preacher, you left too soon. And I thought, what do you mean I left too soon? I saw that young man get saved. And she said, no. And when I texted her back, she said, no, Miss Shannon got saved after the service. And I'll have to tell you who Miss Shannon was. She's the lady that played the piano in the church. One of the most, just sweetest young ladies you'd ever want to meet. And she's been faithful every time I've been over there. And they said, Miss Shannon came and said, I don't know if I have what it takes to go to heaven. And said, Miss Shannon got saved by the grace of God. She just recently, on one of her memories on Facebook, she tagged me in a post with this very message, had a picture of these letters. And she said, that was back at maybe last year. And she said, I just want to thank the Lord for the day that I got what it took to be able to go to heaven. Can I say to you, if you don't have it tonight, I wouldn't wait because time is running out. But boy, I'm glad tonight, if you're here and you need to be saved, I'm glad Jesus is standing there with open arms. He said, all that will come to me, I'll in no wise cast them out. He said, cast all your care upon me, for I care for you, and I'm glad there's a God that you can give him your burden tonight. Some of you here tonight, you've got a loved one that's not, they're out in the world tonight. Oh, they made a profession, but it may be that they've got a 2-cent stamp. It may be that they're trusting in something besides the blood of Jesus Christ. I've seen good people like that. But let me tell you something right now. The only thing that's going to get you there is to know that you've been saved by the grace of Almighty God. You've got to have the new birth. That's the only way to get there. Can't be good enough. It's not on your pedigree. How much money you got. I'm glad it's whosoever will. Let him come. Take of the water of life freely. Father, we thank you for the message tonight. I pray, God, would you speak to hearts here. Lord, there may be people here tonight who automatically a loved one came to their mind. Someone that, Lord, in days gone by, they made a profession, but, Lord, they've shown no evidence of conversion in their life. They've shown no evidence. Lord, we know we're not their judge. We understand that. But, Lord, I pray that tonight there, those that might be here have someone in their life that they are concerned about. Lord, I pray, would you help us? And Lord, may you help us as a church to be concerned to go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. And Father, we know you're the one that does the work. Lord, we know you're the one that salvation is of the Lord. We understand that. But Lord, would you help us as your people that we might carry a burden? Lord, that when they come to this place, Lord, there might be an atmosphere of the Holy Spirit so strong that they won't leave in a lost condition. But God, I pray, would you speak to their hearts and draw them by the power of the Holy Spirit unto salvation. Father, I pray tonight, would you help us all examine our hearts and life just to see, do I have what it takes to go to heaven? And Lord, we're going to give you praise for all you do. Thank you for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Let's